In its wide range of style and subjects, the Bible has something to interest every mind and appeal to every heart. In its pages are found history the most ancient, biography the truest to life, principles of government for the control of the state and for the regulation of the household, principles that human wisdom has never equaled. It contains poetry the sweetest and the most sublime, the most impassioned and the most pathetic, immeasurably superior in value to the productions of any human author are the Bible writings, even when thus considered. But of infinitely wider scope, of infinitely greater value are they when viewed in their relation to the grand central thought. Viewed in the light of this thought, every topic has a new significance. In the most simply stated truths are involved principles that are as high as heaven and that compass eternity. Education, page 125, paragraph 1. Good morning, everyone. God is good. And all the time. Let me do something that slipped my mind yesterday. When I was preaching yesterday, I said God struck Achan for touching the ark, and none of you corrected me. Whom should I have said? Why didn't you say something? Left me all alone in my error, my good brother had to tell me. We all know it's Uzzah, but I said Achan. You should have said Uzzah, preacher, Uzzah. In my culture, members talk back to the preacher. So that is not a problem at all. All right, so let me settle that. It is Brother Uzzah. What did Achan do? Yeah, the Babylonish garment, and put the entire nation. They lost a battle as a result of his error. So one person can have a very, very negative effect on an entire church or a conference or a family. So individual behavior is very, very important. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, speak through me very directly, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 1, let's read from verse 1. It's a 5 to 10. I'll release you by 10:30. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1. You shouldn't have to look. Are we ready? Say it with me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right. Now, I want you to look at that very microscopically. By the way, that's my favorite Bible verse. In the beginning, that's what? Time. God, what's that? Who? Or divinity, who? Person. We have time, you have a person. Created, what's that? Activity. The heaven, what's that? Okay, space. And the earth, what's that? Matter. Mm-hmm. We have time, we have space, we have matter, and we have someone responsible for that. Listen to me carefully. That person had to be outside of time, outside of space, and outside of matter to create them. I'm not trying to be philosophical. I'm simply trying to get across to you the power of the God you serve. God is not restricted by time. Now, these are concepts that give us a good, blessed, holy concussion. God is outside of time. God is outside of matter. God is outside of space. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's look at it again, microscopically. We have God and we have creation. Am I right? Do you see that in that verse? Yes. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. Now, what's the heaven and the earth? Everywhere. We can say everywhere. When Jesus came to the disciples in Matthew 28, he said, all power is given unto me where? in heaven and in earth. Question for you, is there any place where Jesus has no power? No. Heaven and earth frequently means everywhere. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. All things, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. Is time a thing? Yes. Is space a thing? Yes. Is matter a thing? Yes. The Bible says he is before all things. The finite mind can't grasp that. But we accept it by faith. You know, we have sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. With these senses, we interact with the environment. But there's a sense higher than those five, is the sense of faith. So when the disciples told Thomas, we have seen the Lord, Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger, touch, into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, finish the verse, I will not believe. In other words, Thomas is saying, my faith will be based on my senses. When Jesus came back, Jesus said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and touch my hand. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless. To trust in your senses is faithlessness. Now, science says, if you can see it, hear it, taste it, smell it, or touch it, then it exists. In other words, can you produce it in a laboratory? The Bible says, through faith we understand. Science says, let me understand, then I'll have faith. Are you with me? All right. Genesis 1:1, microscopically, let me pray again. Father, give me simple language, dear God, please. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, we have God. Consider this as a chalkboard. There's God, all right? And what do we have over here? Heaven and the earth. What's that? Creation. Everything created over this side, heaven and earth, God. Which means, follow me closely, there are only two ways to exist. You either exist as, or you exist as part of, that's it. Are you with me? You're either existing as God, or you exist as a part of creation. Now, we have Father, Son, Holy Ghost, each one fully divine, but they have different functions. We know that. But each one fully divine. No one created the Holy Spirit. No one created Jesus. No one created God. Regardless of the false errors creeping into the church. Are you following me? Now, let's go to the left. Under creation, give me some examples of creation. Birds, yes. On what day? Five. Ah, blessings upon you. Give me another example of creation. Vegetation, what day? Three. Okay, sister, no more showing off. Okay, all right. All right. Give me another example of creation. A rhinoceros, okay. On what day? Not this list, though. On what day? Six? Oh, yeah, six. Land animals, yes. Give me another example of creation. Suns and the stars, what day? Four. And we can go down the list. Okay, now. Of all that is created, what is the highest expression of creation right now? We haven't got all day. Listen to the question. Listen to the question. Concentrate. What is the highest expression of creation right now? Angels. Now, when God created the earth, yes, man was the highest. But there were angels existing before the earth. Are you following me? And God created them. Psalm 148, 1, 2, and 5. Now, the highest expression of creation right now, you live off the devil, are the angels. But who's the highest angel? Gabriel. He took whose place? Lucifer, yes. The highest angel right now on the right side is Gabriel. Let's go down to the lowest expression of creation. What do you think that is? A frog? No, a frog is a little high. Huh? A fly? Well, let's not honor these flies. No, forget the fly. Give me the lowest you can go. A bacterium. A virus. A single cell organism that we learned in biology. What's that? An amoeba. Let's use the amoeba. Nice word, amoeba. We go from Gabriel, follow me closely, to amoeba. Say it with me. Gabriel, amoeba. All right. There is something that Gabriel and the amoeba have in common. They both created. Are you with me? How were they created? By God. So in order for Gabriel to continue living, he has to do what? Come on. It starts with a D. Depend. Come on. Finish the sentence now. On God. For the amoeba to exist, finish my words, it has to, come on. In that sense, there's no difference between Gabriel and an amoeba. They both depend on God. Question for you. Let's say the amoeba got a promotion and became somebody's frog. Someone said frog. Oh, a fly. The amoeba is now a fly. Its physical constitution has changed. What remains the same? It's dependent on God. Are you listening to me? You don't look as if you are, but I'll take your word for it. Let's say the fly seeks a promotion and becomes a magpie. Fly. Its physical appearance has changed. Yes. All right, well, let's forget the flies. Magpie. Magpie. Were the magpies in Satan's lab? No. All right. Magpie. All right. Come on with me. What hasn't changed? The magpie is still dependent on God. Now, you can go all the way up that ladder. And one thing never changes. Whether you're Gabriel or an amoeba, finish my words, you are dependent on God. Now, question for you. On whom does God depend? No one. God is independent. You know, in Acts 17, God, who created the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of all, he depends and waiteth on no man for anything. God gives us the honor of working with him. But God is, by the way, let me say it more bluntly. Because if you understand that, you're less likely to be angry with God. God owes you and me, finish my words, nothing. There are some people who believe they can put God under obligation. But I have been a vegetarian, why am I sick? Have kept the Sabbath, why can't I get a job? I kept myself sexually pure. I'm 49. How come I can't get a husband? God has disappointed me. I'm leaving him. God owes us, tell me, nothing. But he wants to give us, come on, everything. Somebody say amen. He owes you nothing, but he wants to give you everything. We have God. We have creation. Which means when I try to get away from my status as a created being, the only other choice I have is what? Trying to be God. Because there are only two ways to exist. So Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. Where did Lucifer live? In heaven. What does he mean, I'll ascend into heaven? I will reach to the highest position in heaven, which is God's position. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Who are the stars of God? Stars don't sit on thrones. To whom is he referring? The other angelic beings, the principalities and powers. I want to be above them. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the size of the north, the place of power. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. There are no clouds in heaven. But the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The clouds are all the angelic beings, all the created beings in the universe. He wants to ascend above the heights of the cloud. Then he brings it to fruition. I will be, come on, like the Most High. You and I have two options. We either live as a created being or we try to be like God. And that cannot be the case. Now, as I told the young people yesterday, and I'll tell you, our subject is the Word. Let me pray again. Father, continue to be with me, please, and make this simple, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Gabriel, Amoeba. Go to Psalm 148. Psalm 148, 7 minutes after 10. We read from verse 1 of Psalm 148. I want that reference about the flies. Please, can I have it? Okay, if you find it, give it to me. I appreciate that. Yes, yes, give it to me. Mm-hmm. All right, what book did I say? Psalms, what chapter? 148, reading from verse 1. When you found it, say amen. Amen. Read with me. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God from Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Stop, go to 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Stop. Let's think of Gabriel now. You know, Gabriel is used by God on the most sensitive missions. When Daniel was struggling with the prophecies, whom did God send? Gabriel. And what did God tell Gabriel? Gabriel, make this man, come on, to understand the vision. Isn't it a blessing to know God commands an angel to help you to understand the Bible? The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. If he will do that for Daniel, he is willing to do it for you. That's why a young man wrote me. He said, help me understand Hebrews 4 verse 9. I said, have you tried to study it yourself? I gave him some text. You study it. Let me know what you find out. We forget that Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Anyone who wants to understand the Word, Ellen White says, take the Bible in your hand and go to God and say, Father, teach me. Gabriel, the most powerful angel in heaven right now. When God wanted to inform a young lady called Mary, she'd be the mother of God. I said the mother of God. Can you believe that? A woman pregnant with God, breastfeeding God. He sent Gabriel. When he wanted to announce the mother of the one to prepare the way for Jesus, he sent Gabriel. Now, while the angel is not mentioned in Revelation, we have to believe, since Daniel and Revelation must be studied together, the angel that went to Daniel is the angel that went to John. This angel. Now, how was Gabriel made? How was he made? By the Word. What materials did God use? Nothing. Nothing. Well, the Word. God didn't scoop dirt and make Gabriel. He just, come on, spoke. And Gabriel came. Let me cause a little trouble. If God can create such a high being with his Word, couldn't he have created Adam the same way? God just spoke. What did God speak? The Word. Everything under creation came into existence. I think it's Bible Commentary, Volume 1, page 1081, paragraph 1. All things material and spiritual stood up at the word of God. No, that's a Ministry of Healing, page 414, I believe, paragraph 4. Bible Commentary 1, 1081, paragraph 1. God spake, and his word created his works. What I'm trying to do is to present to you the ultra importance of the word of God. You see that tree over there? Over there. And as I walk around, I thank God for green trees. Can you imagine if the entire world were brown or black? I thank God for green trees. I thank God for the blue sky. Blue is the color of obedience. So wherever you turn, you're reminded, obey me. Are you with me? Blue is the color of obedience. You read Numbers chapter 15, 32 to 41. That tree was made by the word of God. The original tree. Those birds that fly, by the word of God. The air you breathe, by the word of God. Then we have to take a closer look at the word of God. Because everything on this side, what's the relationship to God? They, come on, one word, depend. Now God has to sustain them. How does God sustain them? Through his word. We need trees because they produce what? Oxygen. Which is a byproduct of a process called what? Photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is carried out by the word of God. Every law is a servant of God to carry out his will. That's why living contrary to law is living suicidally. You and I are breathing right now, am I right? Take a deep breath. Now, where's that oxygen going? Into the lungs? The lungs, they part like this, these branches, and all the way down to the alveoli, which are surrounded by micro blood vessels, very small. Now, at that level, at that point, the oxygen goes from the lungs into the blood, into the system. How does that happen? There are laws. How does the carbon dioxide get from the blood into the lungs, out of the system? There are physical laws. Controlled by God. I love flying, and the Lord knew that, so he lets me fly all over the world. By the way, God will give you the desires of your heart. But what is the condition? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Let me come back to laws of servants. I was in South Africa. A young lady came to me. She said, I would love to visit your country, but it is so hard to get a visa. I said, the whole world belongs to God. He's your father. You are his child. You obey him and tell him, Father, I would love to visit a part of your world, the United States. I told her, pray. 6 weeks later, she sent me an email. I got a visa. The Lord will give you, come on, the desires of your heart, but you must delight thyself in the Lord. And so you and I breathe, and laws allow the oxygen to move to the blood, the carbon dioxide from the blood to the lungs and out of the body. It is by the laws that God has set in motion that you and I can do that. You see, to do that, muscles have to what? Contract. I'm sure you're aware of how many micro steps are required for a muscle to contract. And if there's a breakdown anywhere in the chain, you cannot do that. Now, I can live a healthy life without one leg. Are you following me? I can still have good blood pressure, everything else. But let my neurons stop working and this big leg starts to shake. Are you following me? And there's nothing I can do. God runs the universe by laws. He sustains his creation by laws. In Mark 9:31, Mark 10:34, Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, die, rise the third day. Mark 9:31, same thing. Mark 10:33, 34, same thing. He repeated. Repetition is an effective tool of teaching. I love to talk about the Word of God. I do it all the time. Let me introduce a concept for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, continue to be with me, please. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Go to Genesis 1. Let's read verse 3. Genesis 1:3. You have it? Read with me. What does that say? And God said, let there be light. Come on. And there was light. Stop. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's read verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Do you have that? Read with me. What does that say? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Stop. Now, let me see who is thinking very hard. Look at Genesis 1, 3. The four words, let there be light. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 6. And give me one word for let there be light. A commandment. Very good. God bless you. Which means, follow me closely, light was made how? By command. So the Word of God is a command. Read those words again that produce light. What do they say? Let there be light. That's a command. Then, what is let there be a firmament? Come on, speak with confidence even when you're wrong. What is it? A command. What is let the earth bring forth grass? A command. Let the waters bring forth abundantly. Verse 20. What's that? A command. And what was made on the fifth day? The birds and the fish. How were fish made? By command. How were birds made? Give me a smaller word for command. Word. Yes, but word. Word is shorter than order. Word. Go to John 14. John 14. Let's read from verse 15 all the way to 23. We'll 15, 21, 22, 23. We'll skip 16 through 20. John 14. Let's read verse 15. Are you there? You should say that verse without looking. Come on, look up. John 14, 15. What does that say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay. How many of you love God? Can I see your hand? Stop. How do you show that to God? That's a long statement. Give me one word. Obedience. Now, God has told... Now, we all have birthdays. By the way, Eloi said, on your child's birthday, let the child give gifts to other people. That's the kind of thing that causes a war in the church. Eloi says, on your child's birthday, teach the child to give gifts to somebody else. As a way of saying thanks to God for life, give. For God so loved the world that He is more blessed to... Then to read? All right. If you love me, if your wife loves roses, on her birthday, don't bring her a bunch of broccoli. Are you following me? Or cauliflower. Bring her, come on, roses. She told you. I like roses. Now God says, here's how to show me you love me. Come on, tell me. Oh, baby. And we show God love by disobeying. And so if you love me, come on, keep my commandments. Keep what? Say it again. Commandment. Now, go to verse 21. Read with me. If a man love me, come on. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. So we have commandments again in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Most of the world has the commandments. Most of the world does not keep it. It's not enough to have the commandments in your Bible. You must keep them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and we will love him, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Read verse 23 for me now. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, stop. If a man love me, he'll do what? Keep my what? Is it plural or singular? All right. But what does he say in verse 15? Commandments. What does he say in 21? No, what does he say in 21? Commandments. What does he say in 23? What does that tell you? The word, come on, is the commandment. Go to 1 John 2. First John 2. Towards the back of the Bible, find Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. First John 2, let's read verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5. King James people, read out loud. Are you ready? Okay, you didn't answer me. Are you ready? Read with me. What does that say? And hereby we do know, come on, that we love him if we keep. That sounds like John 14, 15 and John 14, 21 and John 14, 23. Hereby we do know that we love him if. We know him, yes, if we keep his commandments. So we have commandments. Read verse 4. He that saith, I love him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and is not in him. All right. Do we see the word commandment in verse 3? Do you see commandment in verse 4? Now read verse 5. But whoso keepeth his, perfected. What is used in verse 5? Word. What's used in verse 4? Verse 3? What does that tell you? Word, commandment, same thing. Go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah, chapter 1. Nehemiah 1. Let's read from verse 8 of Nehemiah 1. Do you have that? Okay, Nehemiah is not a book popularly used, I imagine, so you're still struggling to find it. Nehemiah 1. You read from verse 8. Oh, it's 25 after 10. I promise let's go 10:30. Can I have 10 more minutes? Please say yes. All right. Okay. Nehemiah 1 verse 8. Do you have that now? We have to move on. Read with me. What does that say? Remember the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses saying, stop. Remember. Come on. Read for me. Remember the word that thou, come on, commanded thy servant Moses saying, keep reading. If he transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Stop. What did Nehemiah say? Remember what? But what's the word? If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. 11 words. Verse 9 is also part of the word. What we're seeing is word can refer to a statement. The word word can refer to a statement. Now, creation was by the word or by the command. Now, go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Let's read from verse 5. 2 Peter 3, verse 5. Have you found it? Read with me, what does that say? For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Stop. Do you see heaven and earth in verse 5? You don't sound convinced. All right, good. How were they brought into existence according to verse 5? By the word. Now go to verse 7. Keep reading. But the heavens and the earth which are now by that same word are kept in store. What does you mean by kept in store? Preserved. Then how was heaven and earth, or how were heaven and earth created? How are they preserved? Give me another word for word. Command. Now let's have the Keep the Faith version. Heaven and earth were created by? They are preserved by? And you're biblically correct. God preserves creation. Finish my words. By command. Now, go to Matthew 4. We'll read from verse 1. Do you have that? Matthew, the tax collector, he was a thief. All the tax collectors, also known as publicans, the Jews absolutely despised them because they worked with the Romans. But regardless of how much you may be despised, when you meet Jesus, he can change your life. And he changed Matthew's life so that he wrote the first book of the New Testament. Read with me. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Read verse 4 for me. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I want you to really, really be creative. Give me verse 4 with a slight variation. But he answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone. Come on. But by every command. Hello, I said, Christ refers to his Father's word when he spoke those words. He says, the words spoken from Sinai are the conditions of life. A life lived outside the commandments of God is not the life God requires. Give me another word for command. A life lived outside the word of God is not the life God requires. And so Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And you heard the brother, I don't recall who was who gave that quotation. Study the word, my brother right there. Practice the word. It is your life. Education, page 15, paragraph 2. To restore in man the image of his maker. To bring him back to the perfection in which he was created. To promote the development of body and mind and soul, that the divine purpose in his creation might be realized. This was to be the work of redemption. This is the object of education, the great object of life. But how does God bring man back to the way it was before Adam sinned? Education, page 126, paragraph 4. The creative energy that called the world into existence, or the worlds, is in the word of God. Are you with me? The same power that said, let there be light, is right in this word. This word imparts power. It begets life. Every command is a promise. Accepted by the will, received into the soul, it brings with it the life of the infinite one. Who is that? God. It transforms the nature and recreates the soul in the image of God. How does God take us back to the way it was before Adam sinned? By the word of God, received into the life through obedience. The entire universe is upheld by the word of God. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. You are able to hear me now by the upholding word of God. You're able to sit and stand because of the upholding power of the word of God. Now, I believe in exercise. I love to go to the gym and take whatever supplements, but I am alive today not because of vitamin E. I'm alive by the sustaining power of the word of God. And so our subject was the word. I recommend to you, my brothers and sisters, the word. The word. It will change your children. It will change the thinking of your husband who left the church. It will bring back that person who apostatized. It will soften the heart of your satanic supervisor at work. The word will do what you cannot do. It is the most powerful cleansing agent God has. Matthew 8:16, the Bible says, and when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. And he said unto her, woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. He forgives sins by his word. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, same thing, stood fast. How does God sustain us? How does he save us? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How will he raise the righteous dead? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. As I told the young people yesterday, when Jesus comes the second time, and I'm finishing, he does not touch the earth. Am I right or wrong? He does not touch the earth. From somewhere in the skies, Jesus will call, and Abel, the first man to die, will come up from the ground. By this. When he raised Lazarus, he didn't touch him. He stood outside the tomb. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth, which means the word of God has the power to give life. This. But it must be received. Please, live by the word of God. Manage your families by the word of God. Manage your finances by the word of God. Manage your romantic relationship by the word of God. Manage your health by the word of God. Manage your entire life by the word of God. God's word is so important to him. The Bible says he hath magnified his word. Come on. Above all his name. It is so important to God. Revelation 19:13 says, and he was robed, dressed in a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the word of God. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you, and I use my own modern expression, an immunity against the devil. And this immunizes us. Not against temptation, against sin. How many of you will say, Father, help me every day to make time for that which sustains me? Can I see your right hand? Stand up with me, sons and daughters of God. Stand with me. Help me, dear God, to make time every day for that which sustains me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, we thank you for your word, Father. Your word covers every area of life. And our Savior, your Son, he who is equal with you, the one who said, let there be light. The one who said, it is finished. The one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Father, in his name, dear God, we ask you to give us the strength Give us the willingness. Give us the determination, dear God, to begin the day with your word and to end the day with your word. And to go through the day thinking of your word. Because the Bible says the righteous man in his law doth he meditate day and night. Help us to understand, Father, without your word in us, there's no salvation. Bless us, dear God. Bless us. Open our eyes. We really love you, Father. But we're so affected by the world sometimes. Our vision is affected. Please. Clarify our thinking. Clarify our vision, dear God. And let us see the beauty, the power, and the absolute necessity of your word. Bless us all. A special blessing on the children. A special blessing on our guests. As we leave, Father, let us leave this place, but not leave the blessings we've received. When you come, dear God, please save every single person under the sound of my voice and their families. And those who've come to know you through their faithful lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.